All right, let's get it going. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast with yours truly, Garrett Michael Conklin. Happy Thursday, August 5th to everyone out there in podcast land. Hope you're having a good day. I'm fairly exhausted today. I had a cardiology appointment this morning. That was kind of fun. I had to drop my son off so he could pick up his car. Then I had to have a couple of things repainted. So now it looks really spiffy and shiny and new. Awesome, because he got a new car. Subaru Impreza. And he's going to like WRX mod it out, I guess, so it'll look like this fancy racy rally car. So that's pretty cool. Everything was good in my cardiology checkup, so that's a positive. I always enjoy walking away from things like that, knowing that I'm good to go for another year, hopefully. God willing, I'll be around for a little bit longer. That's always a fun thing to hear. But I'm tired. It's been a long day. Had a, I guess this is the third interview now, with this other local organization. And, I don't know how it went. I think it went well. I don't know. What do I know? Every time I think things go well, I'm totally wrong and they don't go well. So I should probably just shut up and not make any comments whatsoever on how I think this went, because I'm probably jinxing it, or I have no real way of knowing how it went because I suck. So yeah, there you have it. What are you going to do? But that's been my Thursday so far. It's actually been pretty busy. I've gotten a lot of, quite a few tickets in today on all kinds of fun work that I don't really know how to do because I'm not quite familiar enough with this client to be able to be effective yet. But the nice thing is I picked up the phone and made a call to the guy that opened the tickets and had a nice conversation. So, you know, some of that's missing in society now. So, you know, if you have the need or feel disconnected, maybe pick up the phone and make a phone call to someone and hear a voice. That's always, it's a different experience these days, right? So I don't know what my future holds, but it's fun to sometimes talk to people on the phone. You know, I don't see too many people in person. Although I did run into a guy the other day when I was at the hepatologist, or the hepatic specialist. I'm not sure what that's called. The guy that deals with the liver. And the dude parked right next to me was in had a 2021, RAV4 Prime, just like mine, only in the dark charcoal. And I have, mine's in like this light silver color. And it was really funny. You know, I'm like, "Hey man, nice car," just goofing around. And he was like, "Oh yeah. Did you just get that?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Yeah." We started talking about it. I was like, "Man, the pickup on this thing with the battery, it's crazy. The torque is unreal." He's like, "Did you get the $7,500 tax break?" I'm like, "What?" Beep, rewind. Yeah, apparently because it's an electric car, there's a tax incentive or a tax break of $7,500 that you get for that thing. So I was like, "Wow, that's super cool." And also I could have, I guess there's an adapter or something I could buy. I have a couple of open 220 lines in my circuit, in my breaker box. One was for a stove that we have a gas stove now, and one was for a hot tub that we don't have anymore. So I've got a couple empty 220 lines in my breaker box in my garage that apparently I can hook up some kind of converter that will allow me to plug in the charger for this car, and it will charge the battery in 2 hours instead of eight using a 220 adapter thingy. So I'll have to look into that. That sounds pretty intriguing to me. And not that it's a big deal, but, you know, then I don't have to plug the car in for overnight every night, because I'm kind of digging the fact that I don't have to use, I don't have to use any gas. If I drive under 40 miles in any trip, it's all battery. So that's kind of cool. And that'll make my gas last a long time. Now, the only question I had about that is, how long does gas actually last in your car before it goes rancid? You know, because gas does go bad. I remember from my dirt bike days that, you know, you'd have a can of gas sitting around for too long and it would get all sludgy and it wasn't good after a while. So I don't want to leave gas in my tank for, you know, like 3 months before I have to fill up and then, find out that it's been bad. So I have a couple of questions I guess I should follow up with the dealership on. That adapter thing, I don't know how much it would cost to buy that, but certainly something to consider. I'll have this car for 3 years, so I'll definitely get use out of it. And then, you know, how long, I guess I could just Google that. How long does gas, you know, can it sit in your car before it becomes fouled? Yeah, I don't know. This is I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm having another crappy day or what, but just have that feeling of despair again. I just, motorcycle. I just feel like things just aren't working out. And I'm trying to get past it. I mean, I really am. It's just, it's hard to do it. You know, when you're feeling like this, it's really difficult to see things like it's almost, I guess maybe not almost, but I mean, it's literally a feeling. So I just feel like hopeless. I mean, that's just how I feel. Nothing seems to be going in my way or in my, you know, going my way. And it's really disconcerting because I don't really know what else to do. I mean, it's making me feel as if I have nothing to contribute to anything or anyone. And it's, man, it's really depressing. So I don't know if I'm in a depression or a depressive state and that's why I feel like this, or just all the crap around me that's going on is putting me in this mindset, but it really is counterproductive and it doesn't really feel all that great. I got to be honest. You know, I really wish I had some more positivity to bring to light. And I know that for the last few episodes, I've kind of drowned in my own self-pity here. And, you know, to some degree, that's embarrassing even to listen back to these myself because I'm making no progress right now. But this is kind of like, I guess I feel like I've hit a plateau to some degree and I'm not really making any breakthroughs right now. I mean, the music isn't taking off. ACX, you know, the book narration isn't, I haven't gotten another gig in that. You know, the podcast is just, you know, here's what I'm doing. I'm like looking at everything and I'm, oh, look, there was a stream today. Oh, look, somebody played this episode today. I'm stuck in this mindset of like, you know, when is something going to take off for me? And I can't really see what's right in front of me. And I'm not taking advantage fully of what, you know, what it is that is my life, because I'm just feeling so sorry for myself and so unfulfilled that everything is just miserable. It's like I've got nothing good going on. You know, even the conversations I have at work, it's like everything is suspect, man. I mean, because everything ends up turning out bad. You know, I start off in one direction and then I let my guard down for just a minute and I get completely fucked in the ass, and it's really aggravating, to say the least. And it's depressing and it's sad and it sucks. You know, I don't want to feel like this. I truly and sincerely mean that. I don't want to feel like this. This is not me trying to have a pity party for myself. I just don't know what else to do anymore, man. It feels like I'm coming to the end. And I know I keep saying the same shit over and over, but that's what it feels like. I got nothing good going on in my life. And it's really, it's hard for me to say that it's me that's causing it, but I mean, who else am I supposed to blame? You know, I mean, I can't really look at this and say that it's somebody else that's, you know, and blame someone else or different people across the board for everything that's going on. I mean, I'm the common denominator in every equation. It's me. But I'm telling you, I'm just really stuck in this place where, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But everything to me feels negative. Everything to me feels like it's a failure, like it's not going to work out. And I don't know if that perpetuates or manifests itself in reality. And that's why I keep failing at everything, because I feel like this. But I can't get out of this funk. I need someone to help me get out and pull me along. And, you know, I'm like stuck in this mud pit and I'm grabbing as hard as I can on the sides. But all I keep doing is just slipping in. And eventually I'm just going to give up and just drown. You know, that's how I feel right now. It's heavy stuff, man. Real heavy stuff. Not really. I mean, this is just me. Who gives a shit? I mean, what does it matter what I think? It really doesn't. I mean, it's not like I'm important in any way to the world. I'm not contributing anything meaningfully at this point. Nothing that I do really matters. If I were not here, what would be the difference? I'm sure my kids would probably miss me for a little while, but I mean, other than that, which that's a big thing. I'm not trying to diminish that. But other than that, I mean, what else? I'm not doing anything that's changing anything in the world, that's making anything better. Nobody listens to the things that I do that really are my gifts and my talents. You know, no one listens to the music I create. Very few people listen to this podcast. You know, I mean, it's like I've got nothing to contribute. people at work don't listen. They just want to tear me down and tell me how terrible I am and I'm not doing a good job and micromanage the shit out of me. It's like, God, man, I'm just done with all this crap. I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to manifest this and make this happen, but I mean, a part of me wants to just, and I've said this before, just let it all fall apart and just see what happens. Cause I'm just so sick and tired of trying and failing. You know, I've been doing that for so long and just keep picking myself up and trying again. I don't know how many more times I can keep doing that. I'm really reaching a point where I just fucking tired, man. I just don't want to do it anymore. I'm not saying I deserve it or I've earned it or anything. I just, when do I get something out of all this? Or how do I get to a point where I can see what I'm getting out of all of this? You know, I was listening to something the other day and they were talking about failure is was something to the extent that, you know, like failure is far more prevalent in your life, even when you're enormously successful. I think it was Steve Harvey saying something about, I've failed far more times in my life than I've been successful. And, you know, I think that was great. That was a great piece of advice and a great statement to make. But the problem is you can reflect on that positively when you've actually achieved something. You know, when you've reached a point where you've reached these goals that you've set out for yourself and you've actually achieved them, then you can look back and go, oh yeah, well, you know, I feel good about this and I failed a million times, but here I am now being successful. I'm sitting here telling you that I failed a million times and I'm not successful still. And I haven't tasted success at all. You know, and even if I look at my technology career, I'm at a point now where what else am I going to do? It's getting ridiculous. I mean, even in the career that's just a normal job, that's not even anything special, and not to diminish it, but it's not like this is something you got to get hooked up to get into. You can just go learn about it and you can get into it. I can't even get a job in this field anymore. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I don't know, man. Maybe things are just getting out of hand. And, you know, I hope I don't fall back. I mean, my legs are shaking right now. They're just rocking back and forth. I don't know if it's, you know, I'm losing my freaking mind over here. It's just crazy. I don't know what it is that I have to do to stand out in the crowd and be something special, but I definitely feel like I am. I have something to offer. Just nobody wants whatever it is that I'm offering. Nobody finds any value in it. It's not being sought after, you know? I mean, it's really disappointing. You know, I like I said, I had a discussion today with a couple guys and I don't know. I mean, part of me feels like it was a good conversation, but you know, the other part of me is like, there's just no way. It's not going to make it. It's not going to happen. There's just something in there that's just not right. And until I get an answer one way or another, that's how I'm going to feel about it because it's miserable. You know, and I'm sitting in an environment now that makes me miserable as well. So again, I've said this before, but you know, I'm surrounded by, or at least the perception that I have is that I'm surrounded by an awful lot of negativity. And right now I need someone that gives a shit about Garrett Conklin. I really do. I mean, if you're out there, can you please come find me? Because I need you more than you know. I'm so stuck in a rut. I need someone to lean on, a shoulder to cry on, you know, a hand to hold, something that I just don't have that in my life. And look at how pathetic and pitiful this sounds. I mean, just listen, I can hear myself saying this and it's so hopeless and it's such a joke. I mean, why would anyone want to be around me anyway? I mean, listen to the crap that I'm saying. It's not inspiring. It's not exciting. This sucks. This is terrible. It's a lousy feeling. Why would you want to be around that? My argument is that if I'm around someone that can inspire me and make me feel good and be there for me and be my rock, then I'm not going to feel like this anymore. But I just don't know how to get there. Honestly and sincerely, I don't know how to get there. What am I, just pack up and leave? You know, what am I supposed to do? I'm so lost right now. You know, and I said this the other day, I mean, maybe I need to look to Jesus and ask God for some help. You know, I mean, that sounds almost ridiculous to me because I've been so non-practitioner in terms, such a non-practitioner in terms of religion. I don't really follow any kind of religion at all. You know, I'm a confirmed Catholic, but, you know, I don't practice any of it. So it feels embarrassing to be like, oh, here I am at this point in my life when I need something. And so now I'm going to turn to God or to Jesus or to whatever. But I need something, man. This ain't working. Nothing I'm doing is coming out right. Although I will argue I'm making great music. I'll stand behind that. I've got a couple of tracks that I just finished up and they are spectacular. To me, maybe the best couple of tracks I've made in the last few years. They're minimal, but they're full and you can hear all the different nuances of the sounds and the horn playing I'm really proud of. It sounds really good. It's balanced. It's blended nicely. I'm really happy. But, you know, again, it's going to do nothing. I'm just going to put the stuff out and like 50 people will listen to it. And then it'll just die out on the internet like millions of other songs that never get their just due. And that's just the way it goes, man. I mean, that sucks. I wish that wasn't the case, but that is the case. Anyway, what can I talk about that's happy? Let's see. Today is pizza sub night for dinner. That is something to definitely look forward to. I love homemade pizzas. I mean, I love pizza subs from a restaurant too, but we make our own. We'll go out and buy a whole bag of 8 sub rolls, pizza sauce, cheese, pepperoni, whatever other toppings people want. And then just, we have this massive pan that can go into the oven and hold all of them. And we bake them up and they're so yummy. So that's how pathetic things are right now, folks. I'm waiting. It's 4:14 p.m. on the East Coast, and I am waiting so patiently and with such fervor that I cannot wait any longer to make pizza subs. I just want to go upstairs right now and start making pizza subs. because I want a pizza sub, and I didn't have any lunch today, so I'm feeling like crap, of course. And I didn't even work out today, so double crap there. Wow, today's been a rough day. I didn't even really play my flugelhorn that much, so that's really a disappointment. I gotta say, though, I know this sounds so dumb, but I really, 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 and it's so strange that it's come full circle like this because, you know, my music in my life really started out, you know, I used to sing and stuff when you're in kindergarten and things like that, but the real music for me started when I picked up the trumpet and started playing that in elementary school. And it's so funny how for so many years, you know, I enjoyed playing it. I enjoyed being in concert bands and all that. And I think back on that now so fondly, but it's so funny because for when I became like 16, 17, all I wanted to do was be a singer and it had nothing to do with playing trumpet. And I just completely dropped it. And it's so strange, maybe not, but that I came back to it all these years later. And I absolutely, it's like one of my favorite things to do is just play the horn. And look, I'm not very good. I'm not saying I'm, you know, any kind of virtuoso or anything like that. I mean, I can play and it sounds pretty and there's some scales that work really well for me. And that's what I do in the compositions and the songs that I write and the pieces that I play for other people. But in the end, I mean, I'm not really a good player. What I've always had though is really, really good sound. My tone has always been really pretty. I haven't really had the finger dexterity and the technique that other people have, but I've always been able to make the horn sound really pretty. And that's just what I do. That's my thing, man. So I just love sitting here and just, I can't, you know, I mean, I've tried a bunch of different horns and trumpets and cornets and, you know, they're all different, but I've really landed on this Schilke 1040 FL and it really, it's become a real, like a real extension of who I am. You know, I was on the fences about it for a while. I was having a lot of intonation problems, meaning I wasn't able to play it in tune. And now it's just so comfortable to pick up and I love playing it. And it's just like, I feel almost guilty if I don't play it every single day. It's just the one thing. I don't know. It's like this one horn that I've just like bonded with it in some weird kind of way. I don't think I've ever even done that with a guitar. And I played guitar for years and years and years, and I've never really had one that was just the one. I think this horn is just the horn. It's just that one. Love what it looks like. Love what it feels like. Love what it sounds like. I'm able to play it really well now. And, you know, I can play other horns too. It's not like I can't play something else. It's just, you know, something just feels, it just feels right. So I'm just going with it, man. This thing just feels right. I use it on all my recordings. I love it. And I think I found a mouthpiece, oddly enough, that I just bought haphazardly out of nowhere. And I'm really enjoying it. I mean, it plays a lot of different mouthpieces very well, but this one just of late has been spectacular in the recordings. It just sounds so good and it's the right size. Cause if you know, you don't know anything about horns, mouthpieces come in literally hundreds and hundreds of varieties. The inside diameter of the shank can be a variety of sizes and diameters. The depth and the shape of the cup can be all different. The inner diameter is different. The size, the thickness, the shape, the contour of the rim. I mean, it's like you could buy hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mouthpieces, and they're all different in their own unique way. So really trying to find that one is really, it's a lot more difficult than you might think. Because as a student, when you're coming up as a kid, you basically play a Bach 7C to start, then you go to a 5C, which makes it a little bit bigger, and then you end up typically landing on a 3C. But there literally are hundreds and hundreds of mouthpieces in different sizes and combinations and customizations and all this stuff that you never really get to try as a student at that level. You know, like I said, I literally have over 100 mouthpieces right now. You know, it's crazy. It seems crazy, but truthfully, I mean, they all have their own unique characteristics. Some are silver, some are gold, and even the same exact mouthpiece in silver and gold is different. They feel different. They react different. I have a couple of Lexan mouthpieces, a couple of mouthpieces that are brass base. The shank is base that goes into the horn is brass, but the top of it is Lexan. It's plastic. You know, I mean, I have all kinds of stuff. So, it's really hard to find that one that every time you just pick it up, you can just nail everything and it sounds perfect and you play well and you play with confidence. Because I can't tell you how important it is to play with confidence. When you play an instrument, if you're not confident that you're able to hit the notes and play the notes and do what you're trying to do with it, it affects your ability to really put your heart and soul into what you're doing. Right? That's where, you know, like muscle memory comes in when you're playing guitar or flugelhorn or trumpet or whatever you're playing. You need to not need to think about that and just really immerse yourself in the instrument and let things just come out. And that's when the real magic happens. It's not about necessarily playing something so fast and technical. It's more about, you know, like, I guess it, to me personally, it's less about being technically proficient, even though that's still a requirement to be able to play passionately. I like to play very passionately, you know, and that's why I like Miles Davis, because, you know, granted he was a genius and a brilliant horn player and brilliant musician and just brilliant man. He played more passionately than he did technically. There was a period at the beginning of his career where he was, you know, a lightning finger player, you know, that typical, you know, 50s or 60s, or excuse me, the 20s and 30s jazz, where everything was real fast and, you know, all that kind of stuff, trying to mimic the saxophone. And, you know, it was just kind of showing off in a way. But then he evolved into more of a balladeer. And I really, really enjoy that kind of playing because, quite honestly, it's, in my opinion, far more difficult to sound really good and hold long notes and keep the tone stable than it is to play. Now, you got a guy like Wynton Marsalis that can do it all. So he kind of blows that theory right out of the water because he's just such a virtuoso that he can do the extreme technical stuff and he can sound just absolutely beautiful and gut-wrenching and bring tears to your eyes because he's just so amazing. It's just a pleasure to listen to somebody that's got that kind of skill. You know, that's just who he is. But I try to focus on something that Chris Bode said. He's another guy I like that plays trumpet. That he's just focused on not what everybody else can do, but trying to be the best that he can be. I think that's very wise. You know, find your space and be the best you that you can be. But don't worry too much about not being as good as this person or the other person. I mean, that only makes a lot of sense, I guess, if you're competing, right? I mean, you know, you want to win, so of course you want to be the best. But for me, playing the horn, just literally just playing it brings me joy. And that's why I try to do it every day, because it is that one thing that kind of takes me away from all this crap that I'm always dealing with and whining about and complaining about. And it makes me feel good about who I am. So hopefully you have something like that in your life where, you know, you can kind of have an escape, whether it's, you know, you're into cars and working on motors and stuff like that, or, you know, you have a sport that you really enjoy. You play golf. A lot of people do that. You know, there's always that thing. And I think it's really important that we all have our own personalized thing, air quotes, if you will, that we work with and do as often as possible to kind of ground ourselves back into, you know, getting into that topic of what's the purpose of life. See what I mean? I just went upstairs to start making pizza subs, and all the bread was rotten. I just can't win, man. Even with something so simple like a pizza sub, we waited too long. I guess the bread just couldn't make it. So all of the rolls were green, or had green on them, mold. I guess you can just pick that off, but you know me, I'm just a little baby, and God forbid I do that. So, you know, no pizza subs for me. Ugh, God, I hate my life sometimes. Not because of pizza subs, but just, what am I doing? What am I doing, people? Garrett, what are you doing? I have no idea. I don't know why I tolerate this, why I do this, why I don't know. It's very irritating, though. Very depressing. Hopefully you're having a better day. Yeah. Anyway, let's read a poem. I'm feeling this is kind of downward spiraling in such a manner that I don't feel like anything positive is going to come out of this at this point. So might as well just move on to the poem of the day. Taken from Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy by Garrett M. Conklin. This one's called Bittersweet. Bittersweet, lick my feet, and not while it's inside a metal spiked cleat. When it's open and exposed, when it's utterly foul inside your nose, when you cringe instead of pose. It's like some joke that leaves you in its smoke, only to wonder, nay, pray, you'll choke. I walk away in complete dismay, not suddenly from today, but from prolonged disarray. It was great at one time, like lemon with lime, impossible to uncombine. But now it's just divine, this overaged vintage wine. I liken it to street grime. Bittersweet is indiscreet, like the bludgeoned cattle you disguise as meat, which is no subtle feat, nor casual meet and greet. These are some wacky poems, I got to tell you. I don't know what in the world I'm thinking half the time I was writing these, but it was one of those exercises, as I've said before, where you just kind of let the pen do what it's going to do and let it write. In this case, it was the keyboard, but yeah, I didn't write these by hand. I wrote them on a computer. Anyway, with that, I guess I'll end this miserably sad and pathetic episode. I hope you took something away from this. I hope I'll take something away from it later. But if not, it is what it is, right? Don't you love that saying? That's one of my favorites. It is what it is. It means nothing. Anyway, with that, have a nice Thursday. Let's hope for a good Friday for everybody. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.